Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah. Happy hour. From Three Doors Down, Joel Stein.
It's from four.
Formerly of Time Magazine, author of the fantastic new book, In Defense of Elitism, Why I'm Better Than You Are and You're Better Than Someone That Didn't Buy This Book. Why is it fantastic? Because it's lousy with
Stephanie Miller.
References everywhere. And it's also fantastic.
You are, you're the main character in this book.
Which is why I love it. So, we just saw each other. We have so much to talk about.
Yes.
We just saw each other at Politicon.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes.
Yes.
And you were saying that you had a super sad book signing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So the Femsplainers.
Yes.
Who have a podcast interviewed me on the stage, right? Same stage as you, right afterwards.
Right.
And then I was ushered off with a handler making me feel very important to my book signing, which was next to Donna Brazile, who had a line that went out to like Memphis.
Right.
And I had zero people show up. Aww. And I just kept asking my handler when we could leave. Like, I was like, we can't.
Okay.
She said 10 minutes.
This is why we're soulmates. 10. Not only are we losers that work at home and live on the same street two houses away. I had the exact same thing. I spoke at the Bakersfield Business Conference. When was this? A couple years ago?
A couple years ago.
I was not here at the time.
Okay. So it's, but it. It was like crazy MAGA land. I didn't really know that.
Oh.
But they had, it's like Politicon. They have speakers from both sides. But it was largely, because it's way red up there.
Right.
So it was
really
red. Oh my God. My speech, first of all, was long. I lost like 14 pounds. It was like the longest 20 minutes of my life. But then they had me do
You don't have 14 pounds, so that's rough.
Yeah, right.
So they had me do a book signing. I had this, and next to me, Lou Holtz, the Notre Dame football coach, who had a line also to Memphis. I had literally zero, literally no one came up. I have to show you the pictures. My friend took pictures. It was the saddest thing you've ever seen. You could see that I just sat there the whole time.
What do you do in those situations? I couldn't sit there the full hour. I did 10 minutes and left.
I was having the best time because we were taking pictures, how hilarious it was. And then, here's my book, Sexy Liberal of Me, I Sing. And then all the books were out there. So when I was leaving, I saw some woman with her husband. She picked it up and went like this to her husband.
Like a snarl, an actual
snarl.
Yeah,
she went like this, and I was like, I'm right here. And she just went, put it down, walked away.
I didn't even get a snarl.
No?
No.
Yeah.
Aw.
She didn't like that elite coming up from L.A.
No, she did not. So, all right, Joel, you were, obviously the book, it's fantastic and timely. You were, as you know, a huge fan. So, but you wrote, you went to the highest Trump voting place in the country, in Texas,
the county with the highest percentage of Trump voters.
Right, yeah. I was the other part of the experiment, the highest percentage of Hillary voters, which you think is 100% or maybe over 100, because maybe some of us voted twice.
I suspect some people at your election party voted twice.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, not to sound like Trump, but
yeah. Talking to you, Rob Reiner. So, but all right. So, but because I have to say,
do you think Carl left his house, or do you think Rob voted twice? I think he voted twice.
He's put on a hat.
Yeah.
Now I'm Carl Reiner.
I had lunch with Carl Reiner at his house.
Oh.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
That's one of my favorite LA experiences.
Wow.
Like earlier this year, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. But so.
Sorry.
Because we were just talking about you. We found out at Politicon. This is differences. Right wingers, they just don't know how to do comedy. They don't know how to do satire. They're not funny. I don't know what to say. So while I read the book, there was part of me that I was sort of offended, but at least I have a sense of humor.
Oh, no.
So I get
it.
Oh,
no, that's what I was worried about.
No, but I wondered, because you were sort of were making fun of both sides. You were making fun of liberal elites in some chapters. And then but who do you think? I mean, I don't know if you've talked to any of the people in the Texas town.
I have.
Are they? What did they think? Were they pissed?
So I was nervous that you would not like what I wrote about you. I'm always nervous, especially if it's someone who lives on your block, right?
Or someone who knows where your house is.
I'm going to give you that same look. I'm just going to walk by your house and go.
You're going to throw some avocados at his house while you drive by.
They fall from her driveway. Right. It's no problem. So I was most nervous about you, obviously. Second, I didn't really care if like Scott Adams or Tucker Carlson don't like the book. Like, they can take it. But I was worried about this town, Miami, Texas, because people don't go there and write about it.
Right.
And CNN had come right after the election.
Right.
And they were furious at CNN. Mm. They felt misled and misrepresented. They didn't trust the mainstream media. So it took me a long time to get them to trust me. So I got a call last week on my phone from Jerry, the main guy in the story, who's the most ornery person in Miami, Texas.
Yes.
And he left a voicemail, very flat-toned, as he always is. And I was very, very, very scared. And I put off calling him back for hours, claiming I had stuff to do. But then I realized...
Like a liberal elite would.
Oh, yeah. Like a wimp would. And so eventually I was like, you just have to do the hardest thing and confront it. Otherwise, it's going to eat me up all day. So I called him, and first he made small talk. And then finally he said he'd read it in one night because I'd sent him the book.
Oh.
And he liked it a lot.
Oh,
wow.
And he's like, we disagree on things, but I think it's really healthy when people who disagree can discuss things. And
right.
You know, you don't know this, the first Baptist Church of Miami, Texas prints out a mimeographed copy for all the people there, the whole congregation.
Right.
And they have on the back a list of like 10 people that they're praying for. It's like the president.
Oh, you're on there,
the military.
Right?
I've been on there for 2 years.
Wow.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that Jews could make it, because your mom warned you before you went. Don't tell them you're Jewish.
Yeah, and then I told people.
Yeah, because you said, hi, I'm...
Joel Stein.
Right.
This is my face. You've seen it drawn places. And I was at a party and someone laughed. They thought that was stupid. They're like, we know the dreidel song.
Oh.
And they sang the dreidel song for me.
But maybe I'm proving your point that you actually said in here, they are better with dissent than the liberal elites are. Because first of all, I am a huge fan. You know that. And you are, it was hugely funny and I loved it. But I get how people get like sensitive, because I did feel like it was making fun of us in a way. And I only asked you to change one thing. We're not going to say what, because it wasn't about me, but it was about someone else that I care about.
Oh God, it was a tiny more a mistake than you just fixed up why I wanted you to look at it.
I was just one of many editors.
I also had two things. I had your eye color wrong too.
Yes,
which is obscene, because your eyes you can see them from a block
insanely
away.
Green. Yes. Okay.
And my wife's eyes are green, so I shouldn't have thought they were blue.
No, but we talked about this a little bit. And by the way, thank you LA Magazine for excerpting Joel Stein goes inside of one of Stephanie Miller's resistance dinner parties. You're getting publicity for two now, so I can't possibly be mad at you.
Good. That's the thing. The liberal elite love publicity. So they don't get as mad.
Exactly.
As the conservatives.
I don't care. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, but I did love the whole, like you said, I've never been in such a heated conversation with where everyone agrees.
Yeah,
with
people were getting really upset and kind of
passionate,
not yelling, but they were like arguing.
Well, that was just Rob Reiner. He's just loud.
He is loud.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the reason I came to that dinner was to meet Rob Reiner.
No,
very
I know.
Exciting.
Well, I was going to read part of it.
I think he thought I was Jill Stein the whole time.
Oh, God.
No, he did not.
Which is weird.
So here's the part. You were saying, we were talking about Russia, and I think Rob Reiner was asking questions of Malcolm Nance, and we were talking about the P-tape, potentially, whatever. So you said, they're sure once Americans learn about this video, they'll be so disgusted Trump will have to resign. They're clearly not keeping up with the trends in pornography. Over dessert, we debate the technicalities of how Trump will be either impeached, convicted, or removed by his own cabinet. one of which everyone at the table assumes is inevitable. You said all this seems insane. A few months ago, after voting for him, Americans aren't going to take extraordinary actions to get rid of a president who's acting precisely as he did on the campaign trail. I politely suggest that Trump isn't some isolated malignant mole that can be sliced off, but rather part of an authoritarian cancer spreading throughout the world. This sounds sufficiently Trump-hating to me, but my denial that America has been swindled does not endear me to Rob Reiner, which sucks because Rob Reiner endearment is the sole reason I came. It's also not making me popular with anyone else at the table, each of whom is looking at me violently. So I'm curious, first of all, as his crimes have piled up, obviously, I guess my point in that is it wasn't the pee tape that we thought we're going to, it's not just thing.
No.
It was the preponderance of his criminality.
But like, so far, and I wish I were wrong.
Right.
Let me be clear about that. But so far, I have been right.
Right.
And we're coming towards the end of the term.
Right.
And he has not been thrown out despite all of the things he's done.
Right.
Each worse than the last.
Yes.
Or equal, at least.
Right. But we are in an impeachment. And I mean, I think that, okay. Maybe I misread. I don't know what you, because I was thinking, you don't doubt the Russian interference or any of that, right? Because that was specifically
about.
No.
Yeah. I don't doubt anything about this man.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
I still believe we're living in an alternate universe where someone elected someone that Spy magazine made fun of when I was growing up. I don't doubt that he should not be in office. I freaked out. I'm still freaking out.
Right.
I just don't see this ending as we hope it will.
I think you're absolutely right. It's a part of a general authoritarian thing that's sweeping around the world.
I'm afraid he's going to be reelected.
Well. I mean, you're really harshing my buzz now.
The Australia election.
Yes. I can see why our neighbor thinks that you're conservative now.
Yeah.
He said, is Joel Stein conservative? I said, well, not compared to me and Moby. I mean, not for this block. Yes, he's conservative.
Canada came close to electing a conservative.
Yeah. Well, wrote a piece.
They did in Ontario.
Yeah.
You just wrote a piece, impeachment is an elitist trap. You said, as much as I love to sleep soundly again, knowing someone took the president's finger off the nuclear button, his Sharpie away from government maps, and his Twitter pulpit away from global trade, impeachment is a bad idea because it supports the populist narrative. The main reason Trump won wasn't economic anxiety. It wasn't sexism. It wasn't racism. It's that he was anti-elitist. Hillary Clinton represented Wall Street academics, law school, policy papers of Davos, international treaties, and people who think they're better than you, people like me. Trump represented something far more appealing, which is beating up people like me. But so, I take your point in all that, but I totally disagree once again with you, Joel Stein.
Please.
I do not think impeachment is, I think it is imperative. If we're a nation of laws, how is it not imperative?
I think impeachment's a political process. I think being a nation of laws is an actual trial where people can be put in jail or even a tort trial. I think those are different things than what we're experiencing now. And what we're experiencing is a political attempt to throw someone out of office that, from what I can see, and I'm not an expert, is not going to work. If you told me he's going to get thrown out of office,
right? But
I'm
we're
all
so
for
many
it.
Steps ahead that we and look at where the numbers have already gone. I mean, his number, the American people on impeachment, the even numbers of Republicans that are starting to say this is. I mean, I'm just saying. I think
totally.
You can't jump that many steps ahead to say he's absolute. If he is exonerated in the Senate, good. Then it puts them on record. I mean, you seem to think that that's going to help him. He's going to claim exoneration no matter what.
Totally.
Right.
But it
makes the case to the American people.
I think the American people have plenty of information about what kind of president this is.
Yeah.
I think the kind of people who are paying attention to this are not the kind of people we have to win over. The kind of people we have to win over are the people in those purple districts that we won in 2016.
Oh, all this, liberal elite intellectual talk is wearing me out. I'm exhausted. I'm going to go take a little nappy in my Casper mattress.
Ooh,
that's going to join you?
Yeah. That's
is that an elite mattress?
It is an elite mattress. And I don't care who knows it.
Four layers of foam. That sounds very fancy.
Casper is it's a sleep nirvana, really.
Yeah.
It's a whole sleep environment, transforming the way we sleep. They have pillows, bedding, furniture, 50,000 five-star reviews, the most loved and trusted sleep company. The four layers of premium foam designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort and zone support.
Ooh,
ooh, trademark. Some fancy elite must have thought of that.
That sounds like an elite sleep environment.
Yeah,
yes.
That's how helps mommy's persnickety back. They have everything you need They have the right a Casper dog bed.
Yeah, the pillows.
Oh my God, the duvet covers, the sheets. It's I love it. If you need time to decide, sleep on it. Casper Mattress comes with a 100-night risk-free trial.
Mm-hmm. That's what you got to lose.
Right? Thank you. Rest easy. Free shipping and returns. Get the mattress of your dreams. Casper.com/Miller. The code is Miller for $100 toward the purchase of select mattresses. Sorry, I'm spitting. Casper.com/Miller. Right? Boom. $100 off. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. Customer experience and product reviews based on Casper.com. Authorized retailer sites and Google. Look how fast I can talk. Casper.com. Now back to you, Joel.
Like, I trust Nancy Pelosi. Whatever right. she's doing, I'm sure right. is a better path than what I can figure out.
Yeah, well, because you went to the dinner party she was at because you're a liberal elite at my house.
No, but part of being an elite is trusting expertise.
You suck up.
And part of being elite is sucking up at every opportunity.
Hey, can you believe I waited so long to say that you went to Stanford with Cory Booker and Rachel Maddow?
You beat me to it by like five
yeah,
seconds.
I know.
Yeah. I name dropped Carl Reiner before. I have to space right. him out.
Well, anyway, I mean, but what? Obviously, I don't know when you wrote this piece, but obviously, we're in an impeachment, so it's I mean, so it's obviously.
Yeah, no, yeah, this book. Yeah, I wrote this book a little while ago.
Yeah. Well, so you were wrong already. I'm just saying.
I'm often wrong. Yeah, but no, you've got a year. I don't care. This isn't the main part of the book, but you've got a year before the next election.
Right.
So, at what point do you think the Republican Party is going to be willing to throw out their nominee? Like, what do you have, five months?
I've never thought they would do it because it's the right thing. I think if these poll numbers continue to go the way they're going, and there's a new bombshell a day, and Mitch McConnell's already kind of signaled a little bit, right?
Oh, he hates Trump. Yeah.
I mean, he's already.
But at some point, it's too dangerous to throw out your nominee because then you'll lose the presidency. So there's a time at which you have a very limited time.
Travis, you just haven't even had a chance to read it yet, but you know the Republicans are already privately nervous about a complete wipeout.
Right.
White House, Senate,
Congress. Last time too.
But I think if they think he's going to take the whole party down with him, and the evidence, which we already, I think, know is so incontrovertible. And I would beg to differ when you said the American people have all the information. They don't. If it's not on television, they don't know. And we haven't even started televised hearings yet with this evidence that, as you know, is already so damning, you know.
Yeah, I feel like people had all the information they needed back during the last presidential election. Like, they knew what they were getting, and they wanted this.
Yeah. What are the things we thought about this last time? Which, because you're right, for people that agree on everything,
we do fight a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's good tension in the neighborhood. What?
Sorry, can I throw something out there? There's a story that's actually going on that's kind of like bubbling up right now. Obama had an interview this morning, mm-hmm. and he was talking about purity tests on the Democratic
that's
side.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said the idea of a purity test and you're never compromised and that you're always politically woke and all that stuff, you should get over that quickly.
Exactly. I've been saying that for a long time.
He goes on to say the world is messy. There are ambiguities. People who do really good stuff have flaws. Like if I tweet a hashtag about, something's not right, or you use the wrong verb, then I can sit back and feel good about myself.
Yeah. Well, he's right, because this is part of why...
And that's on the liberal elite side, I think.
Yeah. So there's
this is part of why we lost, because of Jill Stein and Joel Stein.
Yeah. Well, no, wait a second.
What? No.
There's a part of... Stephanie. There's a part of indefensive elitism towards the end of the book where I talk about smugness being a problem.
Yeah.
And I do feel like whenever I correct someone from the right not to say tranny...
Right.
That's offensive now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like to them, it's the same as me telling them not to drink oaky Chardonnays. Like I'm just kind of stating my cultural superiority
right.
about something that they feel happened 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And there has to be a moment of reflection, and we have to calm down and not try and accuse and cancel people and seem superior and virtue signal.
Yeah.
I think that's, and I mean, just as far as winning over people.
I didn't listen to anything you just said because I don't care about the people you're talking about. I'm just kidding.
You got
no,
stuck
but you. We talked about this before that you said was again as you wrote wasn't about sexism or racism. I would beg to differ. I get it that it was anti-elite, but you quote people saying incredibly racist things in the town. Mm-hmm. In fact, I love that thing about you wanted to shove this one woman in an MRI not to do a test just so no one could hear the racist things she was saying.
It was awful. There was this really nice woman. And we were having a great dinner. And then she said, you know, the problem with the blacks.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, I really liked her. And I was like, what can I do to stop the rest of the sentence?
Stop this moment
like,
in time.
Do I knock over my iced tea? Do I yell? But I'm like a reporter.
No.
Like the car, it's the racist carpet commercial. Yeah. No.
Because I knew once she finished the sentence, I was going to have to put it in the book. And I didn't want to do that to her. I'm afraid to talk to her. But yes. But lots of people, like, I know lots of racist liberals. And also, there's a racist spectrum, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was in an MRI machine for that really cool... did you hear about this experiment that this... I'm forgetting the neuroscientist's name. He's on TV all the time. That doesn't make him an important neuroscientist. But he put people in an MRI machine, and he showed them photos of hands either plain or being pricked with a needle, and then underneath it, it said, like, Muslim or... Christian or and they measured how upset you got, whether it was your tribe or not. And and I went in that MRI machine and I was slightly above average in racism.
Wow.
Or average, I forgot. It was, but it was not good. Whatever it was,
I'm telling everyone in the street.
They know I have a Prius, right? Or Cassandra's Prius, right? Why do they think I'm conservative?
Your super hot wife. Why
do you think they think I'm conservative?
I told you the story. She was walking in front of me down from hiking, and I was like, oh, who's that? It was super hot blonde. And she turned around. I'm like, oh, it's my stupid Joel Stein's super hot straight wife. God damn. Oh, hi, Cassandra. She's great. She is, and smart, and anyway.
She's
and,
more liberal than me.
Yeah. And normally I hate children except for your child.
Yeah.
Who also loves me.
You are so nice to have him at your parties.
He's so cute because he's super shy, but like the last time I ran into his Cassandra and Laz, he just came running up to me and just grabbed me like a koala.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The kids know the people that don't like kids. That just,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids gravitate to people who don't like kids.
Like people that don't like dogs or cats. Yeah. The one that, I like him. I love him though.
Aww.
He's super cute. So this goes to, the LA, you wrote an LA Times article because we've got, it goes to what Obama just said in 2020. Yeah. Elizabeth Warren has an elitist problem in the 2020 election was the piece you wrote.
Yeah.
And I noticed you cut and pasted some of the same things from the other Twin Cities article. Just.
Oh, wait, no.
As your editor. I'm just kidding.
Twin Cities. They may have just. I think the Twin Cities.
Well, that was impeachment is elitist. This one is Elizabeth Warren has an impeachment. There's some of the same points.
I'm grabbing stuff from In Defense of Elitism and throwing them into op-eds around the country.
I understand Elizabeth Warren's appeal. The words Harvard Law and Professor fill me with so much joy. I like them in any order. Better still, Warren has plans. She has experience. She walks everywhere in a way designed to show she does not want to be late for class. But I also know the reason I like Elizabeth Warren is we're both members of the intellectual elite. Many people do not like us. The main factor in Trump's win wasn't economic anxiety. Here we go. Same. It wasn't racism. It was sexism. It's that he was anti-elitist. And the same thing about that, you know, they just wanted someone that would beat up people like you.
And I think racism and particularly sexism were huge factors in the election. And I think people...
But that went in the overriding anti-elitist is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you have people who voted for Obama who then voted for Trump. So as far as their voting is concerned, they probably weren't voting on race.
But that was going to be my point. How do you explain Obama? He'd be obviously a liberal elite by any measure, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and a lot of Republicans did not like him for that reason.
But that's what I'm saying. That goes to Joel's point of the whole book and why you think Elizabeth Warren has that problem, too. I mean, and this is, a liberal elite, this does annoy the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
That's like... No. You want to vote for the smart one.
Yes.
Like whether it's Al Gore or whatever. You're right. We have a way of going, oh, we don't love Hillary smarty pants, you know.
Well, my grandfather cried when Eisenhower won.
Right.
He thought that was the end of intellectualism in America.
Right.
And he wasn't wrong.
Right. But how do you explain Obama then?
Look, I think we're living through different times. There have been waves of populism that have grown and shrank, and hopefully this one is shrinking. I can't tell. But as far as, like, if you look around the world, there's a lot of far right populists who are gaining a lot of power right now. And I assume,
get Bill Clinton is liberally, but I get that he sounds like a good old boy. You know, he was from the South, but then you go, how do you explain Obama? Because Obama, you know.
I mean, it doesn't sound like it was that long ago, but it was long enough ago where this wave hadn't kind of grown to the size it is. And so I feel like. Look, if this was the Great Depression, Elizabeth Warren for sure would be kicking ass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're at a time of a far right nationalism.
Right. Well, she is kicking ass thus far. I mean, in the primary. Let me just go to the end of your thing. You said, I wish we lived in a time when smart progressive leaders like Warren were embraced, which I would argue she is being embraced. But you said, but far right nationalism is imperiling democracy all over the world. Mm-hmm. We need a plan for stopping autocracy if we ever hope to fix the problems Warren talks about. And the plan that worked in the 2018 midterms involved choosing Democratic candidates who were centrist veterans and convincing beer drinkers. So until this populist surge subsides, we elite are going to have to do what we always do in times like this, stay in the background, come up with plans, and move to Boston. this is now going to be our third or fourth fight of this podcast.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is what, but this is beautiful. This is what liberal elites do. The conservatives don't do this. They just repeat what
cats.
Trump says.
It's just hurting cats. It's always the way it is. Okay, let's pause a minute while mommy re-ingenues. You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Plexiderm.
It puts the lotion on its skin?
Yes, it does put the lotion on its skin because it wants to look my Twitter-approved age of 36.
Well.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. You just dump me upside down like a bat in the Plexiderm every night.
Just dump you in.
That's what happens right before the show. Just
there we go.
And you come out looking 36.
Thank you.
Okay.
I love my Plexiderm. I'm telling you. Listen, here's the gateway. I'm just going to warn you. The gateway product is the Plexiderm you put under your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
No more crow's feet. No more wrinkles. No more bags. You know what it did? Gateway to all the Plexiderm products.
Yes.
I got everything because I love it. I have the day cream, the night serum. I have the makeup remover pads.
What? Mm-hmm.
I've got the... Yes.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I have the under eye gel for specifically for dark circles.
Yep.
They make an amazing line of products. You got to check it out.
Yeah, check it out on your Instagram and on your Facebook.
Yes.
Yes. We put photos up.
Yes. And go to triplexiderm.com. Use my code SEXYLIBERAL for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. That's right. 50% off plus an additional $10 off.
What?
This offer available by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code SEXYLIBERAL. Plexiderm backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexiderm.com today. The code is SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. That's triplexiderm.com. The code is SEXYLIBERAL. I understand your point to a degree, but I would say that she is resonating because she is talking about populism in a way. And I just...
Yes. But I feel like we're splitting into two parties. Like, there's no more conservative and liberal. Now we're down to, like, nationalist versus neoliberal.
But let me just say one before I forget. We did elect some centrists, obviously, in some districts, but we also elected the squad. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, but look where the squad was elected. Like, those aren't the places that we need to win.
Right.
Like, I don't care about.
Those are guaranteed liberal districts.
The blue is getting more blue, but I want to win the purple because that was the strategy that won the 2016 election.
So what is.
I mean, 2018 election.
Who were you? I know last time you told me Cory Booker because.
Well, yeah. As an elite, I went to college with him.
Oh, did you go to Stanford, Joel?
I went to Stanford with Cory Booker.
Uh huh.
And Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And no, I want, look, I don't really care which healthcare plan we get.
Yeah.
I want Trump out of office.
Yeah, no, yeah. I keep saying that too. I don't care if we get Medicare for all or we build on Obamacare and then get to a Medicare for all. I just want to stop this fucking crisis.
I mean, I would like someone who knows what they're doing. Like, I don't want I met Marianne Williamson. She looked into my soul and told me I need a second bar mitzvah. Like, it was amazing.
Well,
but
she's right.
She is right.
Yeah.
She understands midlife crises. Yeah. But I don't know if she... But I want someone with some experience. Anyone who will win is great. I just want this to stop before we lose democracy.
Is the point of your piece that you don't think Elizabeth Warren is the one? The general. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want someone to win the general.
Yeah.
And I fear that she and Bernie are not it.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a big difference between the two of them.
Oh, there is. Yeah. I just think they both aren't it for slightly different reasons. Actually, for the same reason, even as different as they are.
Do you think Biden will be the nominee?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm happy with Klobuchar or Biden or Kamala Harris or Cory Booker.
Buttigieg.
The only thing that worries me about Buttigieg is that he's the mayor of this house. And he's done a fine job.
A little smaller than this house.
Right.
Yeah. There are more people here right now.
Great. Now make me look like a liberal elite. Thanks. At Time Magazine for 19 years, I had to hear this story again because I forget. You worked for Martha Stewart Living, she fired you twice in the same day?
No, Wikipedia says that. She definitely fired me twice. but it wasn't. It was over months.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
What did you do?
To get fired?
Yeah.
Oh, I sucked at my job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I shouldn't have been working for Martha Stewart.
What were you doing for Martha Stewart Living?
I was straight out of college, and I was hired.
He wasn't folding bed corners properly.
I wasn't forcing the bulbs hard enough. Yeah. I was hired as her writer for her first TV show.
Okay.
Yeah. I was not capable. And she told me she wanted it to be like Letterman. Like, I was so young. She took me... Actually, it's in the book, because she takes me to lunch. And then right out of college, we went to this like expensive restaurant in Westport, Connecticut. And she asked me if I want San Pellegrino. And I ask her what San Pellegrino is.
Oh,
and she laughs. And I'm like, no, I really don't know what San Pellegrino is. Like, is it a pasta? Is it a way to make like bird houses out of popsicle sticks? Like, I don't know what's going on. And she just laughs. And like, I get some San Pellegrino. And I'm really disappointed because it's just sparkling water.
Yes.
Right? But I learned that there was a whole world of the elite. And then the words I had to learn. The semiotics of the elite were very confusing.
And that's why she hired you, because that passed for a joke. She thought it was funny.
Yeah.
When you were just like...
But then I wrote like Letterman-y stuff for her, or very subpar Letterman-y stuff, and she didn't like it because she just wanted to tell people what to do.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like a jokester.
No.
No. And she wanted to be, but then she didn't want to be. It was...
It's only when Snoop Dogg gets her high that she seems a little...
I wish I had thought of that.
Yeah.
I did not come up with that.
That was the solution.
Yeah. You are, you've been pissing people off for years, so you have a big history.
Yes, my job. I did call my book In Defense of Elitism.
Right.
Yes.
Why I'm Better Than You and You're Better Than Someone Who Didn't Buy This Book.
Because as a liberal, you take obviously some provocative stance, which caused people at my dinner parties to look at you violently.
I'm not getting invited back. That's been clear.
You're invited.
Really?
You are pro-bullying, which is, again, a start.
Wait, I'm not pro-bullying. What?
You said, I'm all for a little high school bullying.
No, I didn't.
You don't become a successful humor columnist without having gotten bullied. It drives you to take on the powerful and famous with lame jokes about their haircuts from the safety of your computer screen. If it weren't for bullying, I'd be a contract lawyer. It's
one of your... That is true. I'm not sure I was right about being pro-bullying.
It's true. Most comedians were bullied. I was bullied. Right.
It is.
So I get what you're... If you survive it, sure.
Yeah.
It's your defense mechanism that you can grow into a career.
Yeah.
Aren't you really suspicious? And you're amongst them, actually.
I'm
suspicious of people like you who are good looking and do comedy.
Jill Stein.
Because I'm wondering what caused you trouble? Like,
Because I looked like an Armenian dude when I was in high school.
Is that true?
Yeah. I had a natural afro and I had gray fangs.
But maybe it's just...
And a unibrow.
And a unibrow.
Or just being a lesbian, probably, made you feel...
Well, I wasn't... No, I didn't know I was.
How old were you when you knew you were? You're still wondering.
After college, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, looking back, I'm like, oh, that was a crush on a teacher or something. But yeah. Yeah. But no, I sucked. I sucked dick for quite a while.
Is that one of your t-shirts?
Mm-hmm. By the way, I have a lot more t-shirts than when you wrote the book. I think I have 100. Now I have... It's kind of embarrassing. Yeah.
Is there a whole room full of anti-Trump t-shirts?
Oh, yeah. It's all... I gotta... Yeah.
And do listeners just send them to you, or how do you...
Yeah, sometimes Amazon gets my money, and then sometimes people send them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
bring them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joel, I don't know what to say about... All right. I think we've worked through our differences.
Wait, do you consider yourself a member of the elite?
No, I...
Oh. This is where we fall apart. Okay. Why not? It's like saying
I work in my basement. I don't know.
Did you
I grew up in a small town.
With last week?
Who did you have dinner with last week?
Oh, you know, the dinner you missed. Malcolm Nance, Jill Weinbanks, Maya Wiley, Ellie Mistel, Jennifer Rubin.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was kind of... I was amazed that I was... No, I think because I work in my basement.
You were invited to that dinner. You organized that dinner.
No, Henry Lippmann. Harry Lippmann did.
Malcolm Nance told me you organized that dinner.
Well,
and he just showed up wherever you told him to show up.
Well,
he did.
He does do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I controlled him.
Well, Harry Lippmann organized it because he got the concierge at the hotel to find the restaurant that was the hot new place to go to in Nashville.
Yeah, he got a shuttle. And I said, if that shuttle went off the rails, elite. That would have been
the whole... Everything
about
that sentence was so elite.
That was elite.
What was the hot new restaurant you went to?
I don't remember. DiGiorno's, maybe? Something.
That's a frozen pizza.
Something. No, it was.
It was a Giovanni's.
Giovanni's.
Okay.
That's very different than
fuck
DiGiorno.
You don't even know what fucking San Pellegrino is. Don't you start with me.
But I know what DiGiorno is.
The book is In Defense of Elitism, and I am all over it.
And you are a member of the elite.
You are. I think you are.
Really?
I think you are.
It's like everyone's afraid. It's like saying you're not middle class. This is
why
we're going down.
Well, you know what it is
down.
Here.
That impeachment party you had?
Huh?
Come on. That impeachment party you had?
Yeah.
You were the queen of the elites at that party.
I was the queen of impeachment.
Same thing.
No, I'll tell you. I always acknowledge I grew up in privilege, but my dad's father was a janitor. And like, my mom and my dad and I all grew up in the same little small town, like 25,000 people. So I grew up very, you know, like, and I get who my dad became, but he also, I think, had that mentality where I never, like my sisters, by the way, they went to like those elite, like, schools in Washington, because that's where they grew up. They're like 20 years older than I am, but I went to just Catholic school in Lockport, New York, and played, you know, softball with all the other junior dykes at my local park. And I always hated like country club kids, and maybe you're right. I guess I am, but I never felt like an elite.
So I explain this in the book, and I keep forgetting to do it when I talk to people. But I'm talking about the elite. I'm talking about aren't about money, because they can be in government, they can be in media, they can be in NGOs, and it's not about the privilege you were born into, because the elite believe in the meritocracy.
Yeah.
It's about your connections. It's about how you view the world. It's about having influence and intellectual power. And by the way, the people who hate us, the populace,
right,
they don't care how we grew up, or they don't mind money. What they're objecting to is kind of the way we look at the world and the way we connect to each other.
Okay, but my point is, I don't feel snobby about, because you do talk about small town, big town, and I know you talk about elites gravitate to large town, which is true, to do what I wanted to do for a living. But I think maybe that's part of it, is that I was a small town kid, and my parents were not Kennedys or Rockefellers.
But you're not
my dad
anymore.
Was a self-made man. Right, I get it. But I guess the point is, like, I remember always hating those kids intrinsically. I never wanted to go to the country club because they were snotty. Right. They were elites, and I didn't. So that's what I'm saying, is I think that I think I was a liberal from the time I was little, and I didn't realize it, because I was just... But then I think the fact that I didn't become Oprah or Ellen or whatever, and I work in my basement, I don't feel like an elite, but I get what you're...
But the elite don't want a yacht. The elite want to do a TED Talk, right?
Yeah.
So when Clooney talks about, like, I grew up in a small town, like, that does not play with populace at all. They don't care. He is George Clooney now.
That doesn't work with people who live in Kentucky now.
Yes.
Right.
Like, your past.
So you're saying that's part of it, is staying where you grew up rather than.
Oh, yeah. Populists are all about land and the blood.
But see, I'm still really good friends with all the kids that I grew up with that still live there.
That's great. Yeah. But they think you're an elite.
But what you're saying, the whole election hinged on, they think we look down on them. And I'm just saying, I don't think that's true of everybody, because I don't look down on people.
But it's what they think. It's not what you think.
It's not what you think. It's what
they're idiots. Oh, no. Now
you're elite. Okay. There you go.
All right. You win. You win, Joel Stein. Go buy In Defense of Elitism by Joel Stein, my good friend and neighbor. Happy, happy hour.
Hey, this is Jody Hamilton, host of the podcast From the Bunker. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love my show, where every week Sean Barton, David Shockett, and I discuss politics, sports, pop culture, that show on HBO that I don't watch. Find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.